a place where God dwells and where he most manifests his glory. In the second sermon, we saw that the current heaven is the temporary heaven, the intermediate heaven, and a new heaven and a new earth is coming upon Christ's second coming. And today we will look at the bodies that we will have for eternity with the Lord in the new heaven. Let's join our hearts in prayer. Father, let your word make a difference in our thinking and in our hearts. Please, Father, change this. Help us to connect the dots of your truth, and may we live differently as a result of understanding what you're saying about our eternal bodies. For your glory, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have all kinds of thoughts about the human body, general thoughts and popular thoughts. Women's bodies in general, we are told by media and by culture, should be slim and tight and tiny. And men's bodies should be muscular and fit. So we take these ideals, we compare ourselves to them, we try to emulate those bodies, and if we fail, we feel terrible. Or we do the opposite. We don't care what they say, and we do what we want, no exercise, overeating, addicted to sugar and fat. Or we work at just loving the body we have, being okay with what we've got. So many different views, and so many different things play into that view. Pornography has done terrible, terrible things to the view of bodies. Pornography has reduced the body to a piece of flesh to be used. That's what pornography has done. Then this whole gender debate. Gender, how I was born a man. Well, that doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Push that aside. Be what you want to be. Be what you want to be. There are all kinds of dynamics surrounding how we view the human body. All kinds of influences play in and play against what God's word says. Last week we looked at the coming new heaven and new earth, and it sounds like scripture is saying that the present earth will not be obliterated and replaced, but rather purged of sin and of evil. And it will be a transformed new heaven. The earth will be transformed into the new heaven. And some of this understanding comes from understanding our coming resurrected bodies. What those bodies will be like, the understanding surrounding that. So what is that all about? What is the resurrected body all about? Well, Philippians 3 verse 21 says that Jesus will, listen to this, this is so fantastic. Jesus will transform our lowly body to be like his glorious body by the power that enables him even to subject all things to himself. Jesus will transform these fleshy bodies, these earthly bodies, into being like his perfect, glorious body. That's what's waiting for us. That's what's to come. This incredible transformation of this is coming for us. All of God's redeemed people receiving glorious bodies like Jesus' body. So we can look to Jesus' body in Scripture and get an idea of what our heavenly body will be like. So we look to Luke chapter 24, verse 31. Two disciples walking down the road with Jesus to Emmaus, but they don't recognize him. When they finally do, it says, he vanished from their sight. Now, this isn't a figure of speech meaning, oh, Jesus just took off on them. He just took off. He's vanished. No, this means Jesus disappeared. He's gone. He was there. Boom. He's gone. A few verses later in Luke 24, those same disciples were standing with these other disciples, and then suddenly in verse 36 to 37, Jesus stood among them and said to them, peace to you. But they were startled and frightened and thought they saw a spirit. You know, Jesus has a sense of humor, doesn't he? He really does. Here we are. The disciples are standing together. Hey, guys, you know what? We're with Jesus, and all of a sudden he just disappeared. Boom, here's Jesus. Peace be with you guys. What? Here he is. None of that kind of stuff, that kind of stuff specifically, happened before his resurrection. He did other things, like he walked through a crowd without anybody grabbing him. Nobody could grab him, like in Luke chapter 4, verse 30. They were going after him, but they couldn't grab him. He just got out of there somehow. He walked on water in Mark chapter 6, verse 48. He is God and could do amazing things before his resurrection. But something did change with his body after his resurrection. With his resurrected body, he disappeared and he appeared in another place. Perhaps to display his sovereignty as Lord over all creation, and perhaps because he's the first fruit, he's the first one with that body, he was giving us a little picture of what our resurrected bodies will be like. They are going to be different and special and amazing. Amazing. Who knows what they will be capable of doing? Glorious bodies like Jesus. But they won't be entirely unfamiliar. In the same encounter with the disciples in Luke 24, in verse 38, Jesus invited the disciples to touch him. They thought they were seeing some kind of a spirit. So Jesus said, "See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. But while they still were amazed and unbelieving because of their joy, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish. Again, it's quite funny, isn't it? Like, hey, you got this meat, touch me. "Do you guys have anything to eat?" And they give him some broiled fish. He wasn't this floaty, see-through spirit. He had the marks of his crucifixion on his hands and his feet. They could touch his body, flesh and bones. He could eat real fish with his real mouth, real teeth, real stomach acids. Very physical, familiar things about his glorified body. It's the same, yet it's very different. It's the same, yet very different. There are other passages that sound like some physical eating and drinking will be going on in heaven. Like Revelation 19, verse 9, "Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." These kinds of verses add to understanding our resurrected bodies will be similar to what we have now, yet different like Jesus's. Physical, yet spiritually special. And all of God's children who have been saved by faith, through faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, will receive these glorified bodies. In 1 Corinthians 15, that whole chapter kind of sums up what we've been talking about, this whole idea. It pulls it all together. The Holy Spirit has the Apostle Paul establish truths about the resurrection of Jesus, that he physically rose from the dead. And because Jesus rose from the dead, we can be sure that faith in him brings salvation from death to life, both spiritually and physically. And in verse 35 to 41, again, point out that there will be continuity and differences between our earthly bodies and our heavenly body. Just like there is between the seed that goes into the ground and the plant that comes up out of the ground. The seed is the plant, but different. And verse 43 talks about how our earthly bodies, they disappoint us with all their limits, but when they are raised, which is mentioned twice in verse 43, when they are raised, our resurrected bodies will not be touched by death and decay. Never, never again will they be touched by death and decay. So we all start off with this physical body like Adam, and we end up living with Christ in a heavenly body. Every part of us, spiritual and physical, being made alive in Christ, by Christ. These earthly bodies cannot live forever in the new heaven. So God will transform them into heavenly bodies that can live forever. And those that have already died, their bodies will be transformed at the end of time. Listen to verse 35, verse 53 and 55. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? God will deal with death once and for all by taking his good creation, the human body, and transforming it into a new, imperishable, immortal body, never to be touched by death and sin again. Which is amazing news, because we can be certain that our eternity will never be touched by sin, ever. Ever. And that is going to be so great. No more sin or effects of sin or hints of sin. Done. With these bodies of ours being the same in some ways in heaven for eternity, we'll probably recognize each other. Our brains will carry on, our minds, which means our self-consciousness, who we are, will continue on some level as well. Me, Edgar, will be with the Lord, not brainwashed, robot, empty Edgar. It's going to be me with the Lord. That's fantastic. These physical bodies will not be replaced, but taken to a higher level of existing with some continuity, but very different. Very different. And 1 Thessalonians 4, chapter 13 to 18, gives us an idea of what that scene will look like when we are all transformed. Verse 13, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, those that are dead. We don't want you to be uninformed about them, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. So God does not want us to grieve like people who are not saved through Jesus. Here's why. Verse 14. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, so because Jesus rose from the dead, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. So when Jesus returns at the end of time, at his second coming, and establishes the new heaven, God will bring with him those who have died, the spirit, the soul of those who have died, those who have been with the Lord in the intermediate heaven, the present heaven. They are coming with Jesus. Verse 15, For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. So if we are alive on earth when Christ comes for the second and final time, we will not have our earthly bodies transformed into our heavenly bodies before those who have already died. Okay? Verse 16. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. So those who are coming with the Lord from heaven, their bodies will be the first ones. They'll come out of the grave, they'll be transformed into their heavenly bodies, the eternal bodies, and meet up with their spirits. Verse 17, when we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will always be with the Lord. So first, the dead will be transformed. They'll be transformed first. Their bodies will come out of the grave. They'll meet with their spirits in the sky. Then those alive on earth, both of us, the dead and us still alive, we'll be caught up with the Lord in the clouds to meet the Lord. Like a magnet, all God's holy children attracted and coming right to him, with the dead being reunited with their heavenly bodies first, and then those still alive having their earthly bodies transformed into their heavenly bodies. This is what will happen at the very end when Jesus himself returns. This isn't part of the events leading up to the end. This is the end when King Jesus comes and establishes the new heaven on earth. This is what's going to happen. What a day that will be. If you do not know the Lord right now as your Savior, if you have not repented of your sin and put your faith in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, today can be your day of salvation, and you can leave here knowing that you are safe and secure for eternity with the Lord, the King of Kings. And when he comes back, you'll be like, yes! Instead of cowering and going, oh no, those Christians, the scriptures were right. Come, Lord Jesus, come. The world is so limited in its view of everything, because sin has distorted everything. And the world focuses and promotes one's value as coming from the body. The way you look, your fitness. Feel good about yourself, feel bad about yourself. But God sees the body as valuable because it is a part of you and will be for eternity. But the body doesn't make you valuable. The body is valuable, but is not the source of your value. But that doesn't mean that what's on the inside is all that matters and the outside doesn't matter. That's not what this means. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, God told Samuel that he was going to pick a new king from Jesse's family, a new king to replace King Saul. And when Jesse's family were before Samuel, the prophet Samuel, Samuel thought the new king would be the one who looks the most like a king. The tall guy, the strong guy, the tough guy, the good-looking guy. This has got to be him. This has got to be the new king. And God said, no, that's not him. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. Don't look at his appearance or his stature, because I have rejected him. Man does not see what the Lord sees. For man sees what is visible, but the Lord sees the heart. You know, we so often take that to mean that to God, the heart is all that's important, and forget about the body. Just trash the body. Who cares about the body? But that's not what this verse is about. It's not about making a case for the unimportance of the body. Samuel was thinking that God's calling of a king was based on appearance. The calling based on appearance. And to that, God said, no. God wasn't calling someone to be king based on the fact that he was tall, built, and handsome. It was about the heart. If you go down in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 12, Jesse's son David shows up on the scene. And the verse says what Dixie always says about me. Verse 12, David had beautiful eyes and a healthy, handsome appearance. David arrives, and this is said about him. So, why was David's appearance mentioned? I thought, God cares only about the heart. God doesn't dislike the body or our appearance. He thinks the bodies he has made are very good. So good that he is going to transform them so they can go on into eternity. We are a package, body and spirit, heart, soul, mind, strength. Our bodies are important because they are a part of who we are. They are valuable, but they are not the source of our value like the world believes. I hope that makes sense, because there's like extremes. One extreme that says everything is about the body, all your value, everything that is, you gain everything from your body. And then the other side is oh, forget about the body, it's just this useless mound of flesh that we just have to put up with until we get to heaven. Nah, that's not it, and that's not it. This body is valuable. It is. And God's going to transform it into a new, glorious heavenly body. So stop putting your body down. Stop it. It's going to be transformed one day. We're going to sing a closing song together. So if the band would come on up, I'll end with this. Church, one day, that body of yours will die and will be put into the ground. But it will once again house your spirit, but in a transformed way, to live in heaven for eternity with the Lord. God's not scrapping all his good creation, the earth and your body. He's transforming it to exist with him for eternity. So, be confident that God has everything in control. He has everything figured out, right on into eternity. And even the details of what's going to happen with your body is known by him, and he has let us know what it is. He is sovereign. He's going to take care of you. Even your body will be taken care of for eternity. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that you know the beginning from the end from the beginning. You know everything. Everything is laid out before you. You will bring the end. You are so sovereign. You started the beginning of the earth. You will bring the end of the earth as we know it. You will bring in the eternal new heaven, and you will bring us into our eternal, transformed, glorious bodies to be in your presence forever, to enjoy your righteousness and your glory. Oh Lord, you are so good. This is beyond our thinking. This is beyond our imagination. It is going to be so good, Lord. Father, may our future paradise in heaven with you affect how we live today, how we live when we wake up tomorrow morning. May we live differently here in this world. May we live according to your kingdom, you as the king. And may we anticipate with joy and with excitement the second coming of our Lord and Savior, King Jesus, and the ushering in of the new heaven. Lord, help us not to live as distracted people, being caught up in things in a way where we just live hopelessly. But may we live as those who have incredible hope in the sovereign Lord. May this be so for your glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.